Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration, with your hosts, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, Katie Singing Eagle. The call in number is 646-595-3440. So kick back and relax and enjoy the show.
Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Block Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, and Katie Singing Eagle. We are here live in Columbus, Ohio, in an undisclosed location inside of a turtle shell.
Yeah, we're playing a shell game. You know, we've got to find us. Where are we at?
Yeah, it's like, find the shamans.
We don't even know where we're at sometimes, you know. That's how it is. But, hey.
I don't even know if Katie's here. Maybe she's here. I don't know. She's just in front of us.
It's a hologram.
She's projected herself here.
Oh, you guys, you know, this is too heavy already. Gotta lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, let me just start by saying we had a really magical weekend. I've been waiting to take Iggy down to a place that Katie and I have been going to for a while. Well, probably about 3 years off and on. I know in my case, we call it the Magic Garden. It's a private property that's opened up several times a year to people, you know, who are really cool and, you know, very mellow and very spiritual, you know, just to come and drum and have a potluck and tour this. We call it the Magic Garden because the grounds are laid out in such a way that it's, you can tour around and there's just so much to see there. I can barely describe it, you know. If you have access to our Facebook page, of course, we're flooding Facebook with photos and videos right now. But it's astounding. And, you know, you go back time and again, you see different things every time. And it's really a very spiritual, I want to say, on one hand. It's just a very welcoming and, you know, place for communing with each other as well. And of course, the drumming, you know, they have a pavilion area where they have seating for the drummers, and they have the place with the food, and, you know, then they're around the central fire. There's also rows of benches, and you know, when it gets dark, we light the fire, and then we just start drumming and dancing and just really just kind of flow with what's going on. And I've been going, like I say, for a few years now. And I have to say that Saturdays was the best Magic Garden experience I ever had. Everything just seemed to be, you know, over the top as far as the energy goes, and as far as just the feeling of it goes. And being able to share that with you, Iggy, was just an amazing thing. People have been asking about you and when you were going to come. And things just kind of lined up for you to come down.
Yeah, it was, it was pretty... I didn't know what to expect, really. You know, it was kind of like I was telling Katie, you know, it was just one of those moments that, you know, you kind of build up to it. And, because, you know, it was like when we pulled in, you know, they had security, the sheriffs were there, and if you weren't on the list, you weren't going in. So I was like, I was Lori.
You were Lori.
My name is Lori.
Yeah. David and Lori, okay. All right, well, you know, he's kind of grown a beard now, so.
Yeah, I'm just a real ugly woman.
Interesting, yeah.
No, but it was funny because, you know, I'm going there and I'm going, wow, where are we going? You know, I mean, in my mind, you know, because no one's in my head, and I'm going, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, I'm looking and we're driving, and I almost drove off off the driving path because I was looking at the garden. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. I was like, I'm just using Iggy words. That was badass, you know. I was just totally. Just like, you know, I was just kind of like, I was like a little kid going to the fair for the first time. So it was pretty neat. It was pretty intense.
That's the way it makes you feel. That's right. You know, we found our place to park, and then Katie, were you already there, Katie, or did you come a little later?
No, I got there about, I would say about a quarter till seven.
Okay.
So, good. But I noticed that, people were coming in. They were coming in, and I thought I would be late or it would be packed or something by the time I got there, and I was so surprised that it wasn't. So a lot of people were trickling in later than what I'm normally used to coming in at, because, you know, we kind of get there usually about 3 or 4 o'clock. And just going on 7 was nice. I got a nice spot because I parked right beside you all.
Yeah, that's great.
And put my tent up right beside beside your tent.
Yeah. I think this one, you know, it's actually a little smaller than the other ones that I've been to. You know, and that's, they've had to run a, they had a little bit of trouble, you know, 1 year, so that's why they have the list. And you know, once you're there and you prove yourself to be cool, and you know, you're on the list, and you're welcome back. But so that's kind of why they have the sheriff there and everything to kind of keep things all, you know, kind of up and up. So, but getting there, you know, the time we did, you know, it was allowed you to go around and then just see. And I know you hundreds of pictures of everything that was going on there. And wow, you could probably go back and take 100 more.
Sounds like a tourist.
There's so much to see there. I mean, and every time you go, just like you said, there's always something new that you missed the last time. Just like under a bench, there was a stone carving or a little creature, wood nymph, or another a different looking crystal.
Right.
So, and even the little stone dragon. I almost tripped over the tongue because I'm like, oh, a tongue.
I mean, and you step back and you go, oh, wow, it's a dragon, you know? Yeah. So, and they have a two-story treehouse, and they have a bamboo forest.
I love the bamboo forest. I was engulfed by that.
Yeah, you can connect with that, like almost from another lifetime or something. You know, you were just like really drawn to that. So, yeah.
Well, it's funny. The beginning of our trip, David, remember we were, we met here at my house. We got on the road. We took off. We got, you know, lemons, you know, for whatever we were going to do for later on. But it never happened. But the cool thing was when we were on the road, Kate, we were driving. And you were so just like, I was so amped up to get there. And just like, and David kept painting this picture of what this place looked like. And then I was so excited. We missed our first exit. And it took us like at least 10 miles the other way. And so we turned on the GPS. And then we went down this country road on the hill, you know. And I tell you, that was an experience because, you know, when you're on this road, when you go up and down, you can't see what's coming in front of you, and the road is like almost should only really be one lane car, you know. And we were just laughing. And then the song comes on, the Beatles song comes on. Remember, David?
Yep. The long and winding road. It was so perfect.
We were winding down this road, man. And then we got to like one of the last turns that we were going to take. And it was like Marcus Road Drive
or
something like that.
Road, yeah.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Well, you know, I look at Dave and I'm going, are we supposed to turn here? Because this looks like a sewer drain, like one of those drains that you see on the side of the road. And
is this even a road? Because it's like a miniature train trestle. You know, it was like 9 feet tall and it was one lane wide, you know?
Yeah, only one car can get in there at a time.
Okay.
And man, and it was dark. It was like the light wasn't hitting a certain way, so it looked dark for me. And I'm like, and we go through, and then we come out the other side. We just start laughing, man. He pulls over, takes a picture, and then we drive some more, and we get the sign that says rough road ahead. And we're on the road wasn't that rough, but regardless, then we see Cujo on the side of the road. Remember Cujo?
Yeah, like the white spirit dog, right? He's just sitting there. Like a big old, you know, St. Bernard or something, you know, but he's all white. It was really cool. He's just kind of like yawning at us going, hey, man, how you doing?
Did you take a picture?
No,
oh,
dog.
I didn't have to take a picture of that, no.
Okay.
But the folks back there were like, kind of the people were looking out their windows like, what are these people going back here? Nobody comes back here, you know? But we
run along
through it, you know? Yep. And then we were back on the road, and I don't think we missed much of a beat at all, you know, as far as getting there on what we planned to.
Yeah, it said we were going to get there at 5:33, and we ended up getting there at 5:09, didn't we?
Yeah.
Our GPS gave an estimated time.
It was backwards in time. That was kind of weird. You know, our arrival time kept getting less and less and less. And it was like, okay, wow, like we're already there, and we just don't know it, you know?
That was pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was neat.
One of those things that happened. And, It was just such a different feeling at the Garden this time. I mean, having you there, of course, and just the way that the drumming went. And you talked to the host there for a while, didn't you? And you asked him how long it took there. You know, how long it took to make the Garden. You know, and I was surprised. He said it took about 30 years to put all that together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like a lifetime endeavor for them. They've been doing it. They sit on 78 acres of land. And it was really beautiful, you know, the story he told me how he did it, and just little by little, piece by piece. And then I was talking to all the other people, how they all helped out building the pavilion. Because in the past, they used to have the tarps up, and a windstorm would come by and blow them all off, and people would get wet.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was pretty cool, you know, and then it was really cool to meet people I've never met in person, which is cool. I was like, Iggy, and it was the Iggy, you know, factor for a while, you know. I was like,
you feel like a rock star.
Facebook. Yeah, well, I just feel like a good guest, like a welcome guest, you know. That which is cool. We heard so much about you. I'm like, I hope I live up to whatever you're living to. I was like, well, no, but, you know, I behave myself.
Or Facebook friends, people that you know on Facebook, but you don't know in person, and then you get to meet them in person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I got that, people that know me and know me on Facebook, and then I'm like, okay, I can't remember their name. So I kind of felt funny sometimes because I can't remember. I'm not good at remembering names, but I'm good at remembering faces. I never forget a face.
I always ask them their name, you know. That way I can kind of connect it. Because, you know, people put their young 15-year-old picture on Facebook, and then you see them when they're like 30 or 40. You're like, hey, you look a little different.
But, nice. Especially meeting up. I always like to see and hear from Gail, who is on like Facebook every day. And then meeting up with her there at the Garden. And she'll go, she goes to Peach Mountain too sometimes.
Because we're actually related to
Boone,
so we go back that far, at least.
Yeah, it was really cool. I loved it. I totally loved it. And then everybody wanted to take me on a tour, you know, and I was on the tour of the Garden, which is cool. And I was like, yeah, let's just all go together, you know. And, man, it was just so cool. It was just amazing. You walk in there, and you're just blown away. I was blown away. I was awed. Like Maggie Harden said, Iggy has that the first awe moment, you know, when you walk into the Garden when you've never seen it before. And it's just totally amazing. It's so different from the afternoon to the morning, too.
Yeah, and there's some people that will go a day early just to have the feeling that they have the place to themselves. And Rick and Vicky, they usually say that if you do want to come up early or something, that you're welcome. Just give them a phone call or let them know you're coming.
Mm-hmm. I was just like floored by it. It was just pretty cool. And then the drumming started little by little.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, I'm kind of reserved in the beginning, you know, I kind of like just play it out and just watch. But then eventually I asked if I could play the tribal drums, and boy, I went to town on those things. Hopefully.
It was really good. You sounded, you did really good on those.
That was a lot of fun because I was missing my big drum, you know. I left it at the restaurant or the other drum circle that was in Columbus.
Yeah. She usually travels with us, but I think this time, you know, you just want to be a little more loose and not have to worry about it and just enjoy yourself.
That's kind of what I said. Yeah, that's kind of what I said to you. I just kind of want to just chill and relax and just have fun, not really have to be in ceremony and trance dance and go into these different parallel universes and bring back whatever I need to learn. And it was nice. You know?
Yeah, you got to relax for a change, except for we did do the opening.
Yeah, that was cool. They invited us to do it next year, too, which is nice.
Yeah, that was really great. And I had a profound experience while I was there. You know, I have a condition where every once in a while, rare occasions, I might get lightheaded, and sometimes I even lose consciousness. Well, that happened to me while I was up in the treehouse, and when I was in that kind of a state, I don't know how long I was there in that state. To me, it seems like it's longer. Of course, you know the feeling when you come back and people are looking at you like, hey, are you okay, man? Do we need to call somebody? You know, what's going on? And I just kind of explained to them, no, I have this thing that every once in a while, you know, under certain conditions, maybe I didn't get enough water or didn't eat enough, you know. I get lightheaded and I pass out. And it looks like I'm almost going into convulsions, so it kind of worries people, but it's really just part of the whole experience, you know. So I come to consciousness and I'm actually grabbing onto this woman's shirt, you know. Okay. I have a little too much fun here, you know. I'm not really like this normally, you know, but during that time, you know, I swear that I was in the presence of what I call my spirit guides, you know, that they had a message for me. And I couldn't really, you know, I can't verbalize what it was. I couldn't really put my finger on it, but it's starting to come together, you know, and that profound experience, it takes a little while for me to recover from that. You know, I'm kind of almost half in and half out, you know, so, but these two guys, I mean, they stuck right with me. It was awesome. They wanted to walk me all the way back to the drum circle, make sure I was okay, you know. Mm-hmm. I call them my two angels, you know, or like my posse. They were like right there with me, you know. But
nice.
After I got back there, it felt like I had been like cleansed or like released a lot of stuff. Because I came back, I felt lighter. And I drummed like I'd never drummed before. I mean, I just had energy and I was in the rhythm and it was just all coming together so well. And ever since then, I've just felt like I say, like lighter and more aligned and just, I don't know. But those are the kind of things that just come out of the blue sometimes for us. But, you know, I'm sure we all have our own experiences in our own way there that night.
Tons of orbs, man. Just about every picture I've taken, you know, in the evening ones, there's so many orbs and shapes, mm-hmm. and it was just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And there was some silly photos. Silly photos, too.
Knowing us, yeah, you can take a few of those, right?
Yeah. But it was really cool how spirit works. You know, I was looking, and there was this young girl there. We figured out her name finally after we asked. Her name was Tina. But it was cool because she was doing the call, like, that's how I call my people. That's what she would say. I heard her say that. And so I'm going, David, she's calling you, man. You know, I kept telling David that. And I was like, she's trying to find her people, you know. She was like, I called her the white fox crowed woman or something like that.
White fox crowed woman.
Yeah, because she had like a tail, fox tail.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was just funny. And she was like running around with this really old dude. And I was just like, that's cool. I said, Dave, you got a chance.
Cool for him. No, hey. No, I don't need any chances. I'm cool. I'm good.
No, but it was just funny. You know, I was just like the hoopers and the fire, you know, dancers. And it was just really neat. The whole experience was cool. And then we had our buddy there. You know, Adam was doing his fire hoop dancing. I think he burned himself, he said. One time got caught in the hoop.
Yeah.
When he got caught in the hoop, there's this huge orb in the picture. Did you see that picture?
I did, yeah, I did.
I'm going to have to look at it because I've got him on a video of it, but I have to still, I've got like 5 videos yet to upload, and my phone is kind of slow with uploading stuff. So I'm going to have to look at your pictures, Iggy.
Mentioned, he actually commented on that he got stuck in the hoop. It was like, oh, wow, that's a bad place to get stuck, man. Maybe that's why he flung it across the...
Yeah, across the thing.
Yeah, remember that?
Maybe some spirit was being mischievous with him.
Yeah. But
everybody was
so nice. With
fire. You had a close encounter with fire of your own there, too, didn't you?
Which one of us are you talking to?
Oh, you, Iggy.
You got burned. With
the girl burned me. Yeah, she threw the thing. She didn't mean to. I should have moved.
No.
She came across and it like came right past me, like shh. And it was like ah. And then the dog too.
Like
remember the
things were on like bungee cords or something.
The dog.
Yeah.
Remember the dog? I didn't even see the dog.
I got a picture of you with the dog.
I was going that way. I was dancing. The next thing I heard this. Rah, rah. I'm like, whoa! Sorry, dude. I'm in your space.
I've got a picture of that. I don't know how I captured it, but I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the breakdancing dog.
Yeah, that dog.
The same dog.
Yeah, it's the same dog, yeah.
Okay.
He was not happy when I came that close to him.
That dog was funny, though, because it would lay still, then every so often it would just roll around and look like it was dancing.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
that was kind of cute.
Yeah. So we played until maybe 3:30 in the morning.
Wow.
3:30, and then... everyone just kind of went to bed when we did. I mean, we left, and then I think everything stopped for till the morning. And I always love waking up in the garden because, you know, first of all, you're there, you know, and then second of all, you step outside your tent, and usually there's somebody right there who's got some coffee. There's a guy named Dave who always makes super good coffee, you know. Mm-hmm. Nothing like drinking that coffee first thing in the morning. And then you there's another guy named Joe who makes breakfast, and it's like, you know, these guys
awesome.
Are angels. It's like they're right there to give you stuff and to keep, you know, to welcome you into the morning and, you know, greeting our friends again and kind of, you know, saying our goodbyes and closing out there. And it was just, you know, just a real special time. Very special.
Rick also talked to me before I went to bed. He goes, he's so grateful that we came. He says, I'm so grateful that all you guys from Columbus came. He goes, you, David, Katie, he goes, you guys just raised the energy. He told me that. I mean, personally about us, that we just bring something to the circle that, you know, he doesn't know what it would be like if we weren't there. And for him to say that, and he's had a lot of these circles.
Yes.
He says, because in the past, he said he had guys just try to drum people out, playing so loud, and people who would just yell and stuff. He goes, but we come in there, we bring this really nice energy.
Gentle, but fun energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was really happy.
That's a spiritual place to me, and I'm sure it is to both of you, too. That's a place where we hold ceremony, for one thing. And for another thing, drumming is more than just being loud and, you know, and having a beer or too many, you know. So with us, it's bringing community together. It's an expression of our spirituality and who we are as people. And, you know, there's a lot tied into it that comes across, I guess, you know, to people, even people who don't really, you know what we're about. It comes through and it brings that kind of atmosphere. And I'm really honored by that because, you know, that means a lot to me to have Rick say that about us, you know, and you know, it means that for one, we'll always be welcome. But for another thing, we'll keep bringing that energy and maybe attracting those kind of people to that place where they also need to connect like we have.
Yeah. And he said it more than once. It wasn't like, it was like every time I ran into him, he was just like, it was like, okay. You know, I mean, I was like, you know, what do you say? I said, thank you. And because sometimes you don't know the work you're doing and the kind of the vibrations you give off and, you know, the kindness, you know, but he said it to us about us, you know. So.
And I remember him saying that a few times, too, every time he thought, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, he was just like, he was really grateful.
Yeah, he was just delighted we were there, and you could tell it. They're really good people. So I was happy to be in that setting with you all, too, and and so we got up the next morning, and, you know, we were just kind of like, okay, so what are we going to do next? we're close to Serpent Mound. We might as well go to Serpent Mound. So we kind of threw that plan together and, you know, and took off down the road. And Katie was following us. And as we're driving along, you know, you mentioned, oh, there's a guy named Tom who has, like, a rock shop or something around here. I've always wanted to visit that. So we're going right through Locust Grove there, you know. It's where the House of Fakops is. And yeah, so let's just stop, you know. It was one of those kind of days where we weren't in a rush to get back because we didn't have a set time to come back. As a matter of fact, I told Lori when we left, I said, I'm going to be with Iggy, so I don't even know if I'll be back, but I'm not putting a time limit on when I'm coming back. It's out of my hands. So,
yeah,
you know.
Funny.
Yeah. So we found it, and, of course, it was right there by the turn to get on to 73 and stopped there. You even wondered if it was open.
Yeah,
because I always like stopping there to get my tobacco, because they have that organic, you know, locally grown tobacco there that I use in my sacred, to make my sacred smoke mixture.
It's like a gallon-sized package of that tobacco for like $10 or something, you know, which is pretty good. But anyway, so we stopped there and, you know, kind of walking around, and I just started walking to the house, and out comes Terry, you know, and she's just like, oh, look who it is, you know, and then she just was even more delighted to see that you two were with me, too, you know, and and she'd only seen you on Facebook, Iggy, and so she was really overwhelmed, I think. And as you said later, I think she kind of called us there, you know, or she maybe was like, that was one of her heart's desires, was to have some company that day. You know, and share what she shared with us. That was incredible. So I'll let you take it from there for a minute.
Yeah, it was. I just painted a picture for you. We pull up into this driveway, and you point to me. You go, that's the museum, and that's their house. And then I look at the Virgin of Guadalupe was on there. So okay, that's pretty cool. It's not everybody just has the Virgin there, because I had my experiences with the Buffalo Calf Woman, which I believe is the Virgin Mary coming to, and. Well, then she shows up, and you know, like you said, oh, hi, guys, and, you know, sudden she led us into her place, And, you know, I was just like a little kid. I was like, felt like I was in the Ohio Historical Society and one of the wings of it, you know, and just looking around at all the rocks and all the trilobites.
Yeah,
and,
all about the trilobites, yeah.
And I was looking at all the, and I was just, I was so fascinated by the date, you know, 500 million years ago, you know, to 570 million to 500 million. I'm thinking, well, that's a lot of time, you know, that's, it was just, it's just, I couldn't fathom, you know, it was just amazing, you know, and then, you know, she had
that's
mentioned
over half a billion years. That, I know that's like, we'll say maybe a fifth of the time that this planet has even been in existence.
Yeah,
know?
And that's crazy to even think about that, you know. All my relations for sure, you know.
Yeah.
Katie's like,
yeah.
I'd like to get some tobacco, some $5 worth of tobacco. She goes, well, what if I just give you $10 worth, a bag of tobacco for $5? I remember her saying that. So she, you could tell she had a giving heart. She had a giving heart.
Yeah.
And, we walk in, and, you know, we're all looking around, doing our thing. And then she goes, and then she got this look on her face, like she got all excited. She goes, I got to go get something. I got to go get this skull, and I have to go get this guy. I didn't know it was a skull. I just thought it was somebody that she was going to bring. And she
brings
this,
I think she called.
Yeah. She
yeah.
brought this first skull, which had a serpent mount thing on its head.
Yeah, out of Pipestone.
And then it had the coils of copper. And so we met that, we sat with that skull, and we, you know, meditated with it a little bit. But then she got even more excited, and she went and got all of them and brought them down. And some of the skulls she had never shown anybody. So that was cool. And then, you know, it just got cooler, and then we sat there, we were asking questions to one another, you know, kind of having a little council, you know, amongst, you know, medicine workers there. And, you know, she asked us a question, you know, she asked questions about, you know, how we do our medicine and if we're doing it right or not. Someone challenged her, you know, about her medicine, you know, to be a little bit more, I don't know.
To be a little more serious
with it. To, you know, to be a little more reserved and serious about it.
And there's a certain way that you're supposed to do your medicine and ceremony. And we kind of let her know that everybody's an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So your medicine is your medicine, so there's really no right or wrong way of doing it.
Right. And it was just kind of cool, you know, because, you know, when she talked about that, and I think she had kind of like a sense of relief, too, mm-hmm. you know, because everybody, like you said, everybody does their medicine according to how spirit calls them. You know, if we all did it the same exact way, it would be, number one, be boring. Number two, mm-hmm. it would never work. And so I was happy that she got to share, you know, her medicine with us because it was very
Absolutely.
Powerful. And
can you hear
then,
me now?
Yeah, yeah. You dropped off for there a second, so
yeah.
you're back on with us.
Okay. I am.
And then, good. And then she was called to sing to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't remember how that came about, but I just remember her wanting to share her voice with us and sing
mm-hmm.
this particular song with us. And it was the most beautiful thing I ever heard.
That was beautiful.
She was at the Buffalo Castle that gave her the song.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Now I remember it.
And she needed to share it with us. And she sang and went around and laid her hands on each one of us
mm-hmm.
and gave us an impartation
I
because I could feel that impartation
oh,
of energy coming from her hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's
then,
absolutely right. I felt the same thing. Yeah, you're right.
She put her hand on my heart, you know, my back, and it was just like, I just felt like I was like, a little bit of weight was relieved. I didn't even realize I had on me, you know, at that moment.
Yeah.
And
each of us,
we asked her about, remember the drum? Remember the
yeah,
drum?
Yeah,
we did.
Who could forget?
There's so much to talk.
I know, yeah. We really received some unexpected blessings on our drive back and just that whole experience. But, yeah, she'd gotten this drum, and she got it from Goodwill. They didn't even know it was a drum. They thought it was a table.
Yeah.
It was this big one carved out of one piece. It stood about, oh, I don't know, 2.5, almost 3 feet tall, had skin
mm-hmm.
stretched on both sides like our mother drum, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she just bought it there and took it away and, you know, brought it there. And I think that was the first time she said that we took it outside. And I think that was the first time she said it had ever been outside.
Yeah, and it hadn't been played for several years, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It had been sitting there for like, I mean, it made it sound like it was quite some time that drum's not been played.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she was so excited, you know. And I didn't realize it was a whole carved out piece of log, you know, wood, you know, like a tree trunk. Because when I lifted, I was like, whoa, this is way heavier.
Big, heavy drum.
It was heavy, was like, yeah. It was like, this has been a 2 or 3 man job here. But so anyway, yeah, we took it outside and she had a couple of beaters and we had an extra one from, you know, because we carry everything around with us anyway. You never know what's going to happen. So we had an extra one. Took it out of the toolbox and we sat down and, you know, we started a beat. And just songs came out of us, you know, that just, expressions of what we felt. You know, Katie, you started it off with, of course, your beautiful voice, and you know, and we kind of went around, and then you joined in, and then I felt drawn to sing something too, and and she was filming the whole thing. She had it on her phone. She took a long video of about 10 minutes long, and I watched that, and I'm like, wow, you know, we were timeless there. It was like we left that place and we're just, you know, on a different level.
It was just fantastic. It was amazing. And then she sang too. She actually documented a little bit what was coming to her from spirit, was channeling through her.
Right.
And she recorded that. And then she sung a little bit as well. And, you know, it was kind of, it's just fun. It was like a Hayoka reunion of sorts. Because
yeah.
I'll never forget the
funky humor.
She pulled out, and I'm going to say it, Tom's dick.
Yeah, she just looked us right in the face. She looked us right in the face and says, "You want to see Tom's dick? I'll go get it."
I was like, in the jar or what? I'm like, I was like, it was funny, you know. I was like, because we're goofy as it is, you know. We always crack up and do stuff, you know, making jokes and stuff. So she was right in par and par with us. She comes back from the house and she brings this little stone that her husband had found in one of his digs or whatever he did, and it looked like a penis, a little penis.
a little thing,
a little hole in the top too.
Yeah, I was like, because it's just like Peru, and Peru they have big ones like that too. Every time we said something, it was just funny and just kind of went on and on. And and we were passing her around, and we took pictures with Tom's dick.
I didn't even know what to label that thing. It's like, okay. But that was like you said. Go ahead.
I have it as my profile picture, and a friend of mine, I don't know, she probably thought it was some candy or something because she wrote yummy, yummy. And that cracked me up. I didn't go back and write a comment of what it really was. So,
no, but you know what? Spirit was there, told us to play. You know, Spirit told us to have fun and just enjoy the day, and just be goofy as we wanted to be, and not be so serious, you know, with life. And it was just like nothing really mattered at that moment. You know, nothing. And then I asked her, "Where's your husband?" Well, he's doing what he loves to do, and he's out there digging for more trilobites, out in the quarry or wherever he goes. So that was really nice. That was cool to hear that too.
Well, he was out doing his thing.
And then, you know, our story kind of starts to wind down a little bit. She takes us back inside. We take the drum back in. And wasn't expecting anything. You know, it was like, well, she gave you the tobacco. She gifted you the tobacco, and she gifted you this picture,
beautiful
this print.
Picture.
She gifted David a print of Sean Connery and some dragon from some, probably, I was some.
The man who would be king, she said, you know, or it says on it, the man who would be king. So, interesting message. And I've been told, you know, hey, you're kind of Sean Connery-esque sometimes, you know. I'm like, okay. So there's a connection there, you know, and that really,
funny?
Appreciated that. Yeah.
And then she picked up something she wanted to give me, and then she put it back, and then she got something else. She got me this bottle with, there was a effigy or, you know, a painting of, it's a representation of the Virgin Mary. In a different Mexican culture, in a more of a Mayan culture. That's what she was saying. Then it had three little shot glasses with it. And I'm like thinking, that's our shot glasses. You know, that's for us to drink our ceremonial whatever.
Three of us there, yeah. That's so funny. And here again, it ties into what you were saying about you're seeing the Virgin of Guadalupe and the white buffalo calf woman and being, you know, kind of the modern or the Native American kind of representation of the Virgin Mary. And what did you get? You got the South American version of the Virgin Mary. So there's so many threads running through it that you know, we're not even aware of sometimes, you know, but there's so many levels going on, you know, with all that. It's just amazing. And she gets to do something too, Kitty. A picture?
Yes. Beautiful print of a woman, an ethnic, like an African woman, and then she has like this beautiful blue light coming out of her third eye.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I kept looking at that picture while we were sitting talking inside, and I just kept looking at it, and I'm like, I was thinking to myself at the time when we were just sitting and talking, just shooting a breeze, I like that print. I'd like to have that print, not knowing that later on she was going to give that to me, because
I didn't go with any intentions for anything, you know. If I was going to do anything, it was maybe buy something little, you know, to remember the moment, but, man, it was just... Mm-hmm. Wow. It was wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we
definitely
got
either.
A lot.
Yeah,
we got a lot of things, you know. We got a lot of gifts on a lot of levels.
Oh, yeah. What was cool is, too, she said, I wish you guys would have told me you were coming. I would have cooked you dinner or lunch or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to call her next time I'm coming. Because I bet you she cooks really good, man. But yeah, she told us a story about how she brought in feral kids or feral teenagers or young people too, which I thought was really cool too.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty wild, pretty intense.
So it's like it was an exchange. We blessed her, and by just coming and showing up, because she had put it out there or prayed that she would have company that day, and then in turn, we got blessed, too, by getting to play the drum and the little gifts that we got and just the good all-around discussion, conversation.
Yeah, she was an amazing woman. I've only met her on Facebook.
Yeah.
And now we met in person.
Now we met in person, and they also have its hippies and sweat lodges there, too. So
yeah,
I see some of that in your future, too.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty awesome. We said our goodbyes, and we got on the road again.
Mm-hmm.
We turned left.
Off to Serpent Mound.
Which was another cool experience, too.
That was, you know, in its own way, I thought, you know, here's another opportunity of kind of a divine appointment or something. But so we drove up there, you know, into the Serpent Mountain parking lot, and didn't really know what to expect, because we kind of heard some things like, you know, they were changing things around there, and there's new management, and, you know, all these things. And I didn't really know what to expect, but... looked pretty much normal to me, and then we got out of the car and kind of got our stuff together. I grabbed my drum, and you had your drum, and I think you had did you have your flute with you? I don't know.
Yeah, I played it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right. And you know, we got out. We all walked, kind of just did our thing. You said, "I'm going to go say hello to this tree. I'm going to go commune with this tree that I always go commune with." You know, and you're walking over to it, and you go, look, a snake. And I'm looking at the tree itself, and I see this long design in it, and I'm going, yeah, it looks like a snake, man. That's pretty cool. So you go, no, it's a real snake. Look. You know, and you're pointing, and there's a snake coming out with his head sticking out about a foot or more, you know, this snake out coming right out of the tree. I'm like, wow. We got a serpent at Serpent Mound, you know, your favorite tree. This is not an accident, you know.
Yeah, that was that was pretty intense. I'm still kind of wrapping my mind around that. You know, it's been really, like, rolling around in my head what that means. And I have some ideas about it. But it was really, it was kind of like an epiphany moment, you know, for me. You know, I don't know if you guys noticed, I was kind of mesmerized by the snake to some degree, you know, where it kind of reminded me of, like, the Adam and Eve story. You know, here's the snake tempting you to, you know, and then... he's posing there, having his picture taken, and you know he moved maybe once or twice, but you know, after I saw the virgin, the snake, you know, the tree of life, you know, I just started putting all these little pieces together, and like, wow, there's something very magical that's happening here, and I'm being too human about, I need to be a little more open about these messages that are coming, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, I'm really processing, especially what happened at Ash Cave, you know, what's happened at Cantwell Falls, all the things that we've run into. I see in the Siaga plant growing on the trees in Cantwell Falls. And and just all the things that I'm familiar with, all the things that, you know, that storyline. And then the because the serpent at Serpent Mount was like, wow, this is, I mean, what are the chances of us getting to see the serpent at Serpent Mount, you know? I know there's snakes out there, but I've never seen one since then.
Yeah. In your favorite tree, you know, I mean, that's not an accident. Like I say, that's definitely put there. And you know, you, as you said, you know, sometimes we're too much in our conscious minds and we try to interpret it logically by what we expect or what, you know, we put these pieces together, but maybe they're not put together quite right, you know, so we kind of have to open up and let intuition work, let our dreams mm-hmm. work, let that greater self, you know, that we're all, that's there, a part of us, but we're sometimes just too focused in the here and now or the, you know, the logical mind.
Absolutely.
But yeah. Yeah.
But it's pieces to the puzzle, you know, the way I looked at it. This is, they all start to fit in. I'm thinking, well, these are little pieces and parts that are coming together. You know, one, you can't see it without the other, you know. So, and that's kind of how it's falling in place for me.
Right. You may see something one moment and think that's it, and then something else comes along and put the two together a little bit more, and you go, oh, okay, this is more of a lesson that I'm being taught. It comes in stages, you know, or, mm-hmm. you know, it's progressing and it's got different aspects to it. So and I think that's what's being outside of, we were talking earlier about you being ritualized and very dogmatic and very, you know, you've got to have a certain approach and do these certain things whenever you do shamanic work or ceremony, you know. But being open and being spontaneous and being, you know, having that attitude of, you know, I'm just going to let spirit move through me and around me, and I'm going to just sit here and observe it or be as much a part of it as it wants me to be. And that, keeping open like that, you see more of that. You know, you begin to become it's a living relationship instead of just a, you know, by rote kind of thing where you just do go through the motions.
Yeah, and it was cool because I, you know, I usually put my hand in that crack of the tree because air comes through it. It must come from the ground. And wind blows mm-hmm. through. But I was kind of nervous to put my hand in there because I didn't know if there was another one. Even if it was a gardener, I was not going to put my hand in there. You know, I was like, you know, what's going to come out? Scorpion?
It was a little different than a gardener snake because it had little patterns on this back.
Yeah, and I didn't know.
Sometimes gardener snakes are just green.
Yeah.
Solid green like a stick because they are very much camouflaged in the grass or in leaves or something. But this one had some different colors and some dark diamond patterns on its back. It was like a dark olive green with dark black patterns on its back.
And its head looked kind of pointier, kind of looked like a pythonic, like, because, you know, people mm-hmm. abandon snakes all the time. And so it's possible that there's snakes floating around there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I was going to take the chance to go, I'm going to put my hand up here and see what happens. I wasn't that brave.
Yeah.
I knew that we were watching it because it left when we left, but mm-hmm. it was just kind of watching like it was guarding its home
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. saying, look, but don't touch.
It was like expecting us. I felt like it was
there for us.
Yeah, it was like,
it was
totally because when I told people about it, I told people, you hear me tell those people?
Uh-huh.
And I said, there's a snake in that tree over there. Like, yeah, whatever. You know, and I knew at that moment it was for us to see when they either like just played it off like it was no big deal.
See, and for mm-hmm. us, since we're in tune with nature more and with the things of spirit more, then we're going to notice things like that. Whereas someone just coming to see the mound, I mean, not knowing what it's really about, they're going to take it lightly like that. They're not going to take it as serious as we would take it.
That mound's alive, man. And that snake is a good representation that was alive.
Yes, because when we got to the end of the, to the oval, or to, some people call it the eye of the serpent, or I always thought of it since I was a little kid as an egg, that the serpent was eating an egg, mm-hmm. because snakes like to eat eggs. So, got down, there's this little triangle part that where the paths meet, and I laid down in that little triangle part, and I could just feel the earth spinning.
Wow.
The energy of the earth. So that, and I could feel the liveliness of just the energy of the earth and the spinning of the earth, because mm-hmm. it wasn't like I was dizzy or anything, but it's just like I was on a merry-go-round going round and round and just feeling it going round and round. So that was really, that was kind of enjoyable for me. And even playing with you all, because you all had, you had your flute, and David mm-hmm. had his drum, and then I'd had my harmonica.
I was drumming before the flute. Remember mm-hmm. the ants?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I look down at my feet, and there's like this brown patch, and I'm looking closer at it. It's just alive with ants. They're everywhere. It's like a whole community right there at my feet.
Yeah, we were playing the drums for it, and they relaxed a little bit, you know, when we started playing the drums and stuff, because they were like crazy after David had stepped on it.
Yeah, and then they just slowed down.
And, you know, I took pictures of it, and Lee goes, What are you doing over there? I said, well, and David's like, oh, he's taking a picture of the ants. And she's like, oh, okay. And it was like, it's just different, you know. Their reality is different than our reality. You know, it's just not wrong or right. It's just where they're at. You know, they see things differently. And we used to be in that program.
Well, and when we got there, there was somebody doing like a ceremony or something on top of that observation tower. And it was a guy with the guitar, and it was that white-haired woman who ended up playing the flute and singing her own song, you know, when we were drumming. I mean, that was another kind of an appointment and something to kind of think about and factor into the whole day, you know, and let it, because we were there to kind of facilitate that for them, you know, and they gave us something too, you know, they gave us kind of the companionship, and she added her song and her flute to our music, and yeah, it was just the whole experience was just one of interconnection and you know, and just being blessed unexpectedly with so many things. And I had tears in my eyes this morning. I was thinking about it, you know, how blessed we all are, and you know, that just have the opportunity to experience even one of the things that we've experienced in the past three or 4 years, you know, but to have them just come again and again and again and again. It's, you know, it's like spirit keeps amping it up and giving us new levels to explore and you know, come to grips with and master, and then there's another level beyond that, you know. So
yeah,
I look forward to what's to come next, and you can't even expect it; it just shows up. So it's beautiful.
You know, what's cool was you know, I'm thinking, you know, sometimes people go, well, "There's angels there," you know, and I'm thinking, I wonder if they're aliens or angels, you know, because everybody was kind of a little different, you know. Then I'm kind of, you know, I'm being a little bit I don't know, projecting here a little bit. But some of the people were really odd to me, their way, their behavior, and the way they were saying hi to us and looking at us, kind of like they were. I don't know, they were just doing it on purpose.
Maybe we had halos or something and didn't see it.
Well, the thing is, I'm wondering if they felt the same way about us, you know, like I felt about them. I wasn't sure if they were, maybe they were visiting from someplace, you know, other than just earthbound visiting, you know.
Right.
You know, I was thinking that too, you know. And I'm wondering if they were thinking, well, we got this drum, and I'm carrying my backpack, and David's got his drum, and you got your harmonica. And then we're, you know, it always makes you wonder, you know, what's going on in people's mind. And then we were walking, and we were, like, taking pictures of, don't come off the path, you know, stay on the path, you know, whatever. And it's, you know.
I'm on my own path.
You know, but then I'm thinking about that, stay off the path, or stay on the path. It says stay on the path. Does it say stay on the path?
Yeah, I think
Keep on the path, I think it said.
Keep on the path. And I'm thinking, wow, that is so powerful.
It is profound. Yeah.
You know, and it's very profound because it says stay on the path. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, even though, you know, we're being goofy here and taking pictures of the sign, but it's a message to us, you know. And I'm thinking, this is a straight, boom, bam, in-your-face message that we're on this journey we're on together, the three of us and a bunch of other people with us. This is where we're supposed to be, and this is where we're at right now in that moment. And then this is the sign says something else for people who don't get what we're doing or what they're, but to us it meant something completely different, you know. And so to me it meant, and that's why I was smiling and kept walking, because I was just like, you know, I was thinking, that's hilarious. And then I got to the tree. For me, it was one of the points that was very, very powerful for me was the place we held one of our first ceremonies together at Serpent Mount, because don't go there very often, but this is one of those times where I just gathered everybody and just got together and we went. You were there and some other people were there. And then this is a place, this is kind of a connection, a really strange and powerful connection in our eyes. That day, we met a person who he connected us to other people and we've connected him to other people. Because I had a long conversation with him at the Magic Garden. And, you know, our friend Bob goes, you know, I want to thank you, Iggy, because, you know, and this may sound like, you know, corny or whatever, but I want to thank you, you know, I'm at these things and I met these people because of you. I said, well, you know, I kind of think the other way too. I said, you know, Bob, I think, you know, I met them just because of you. He goes, well, the point is, that day he came to watch what we were doing, asked a question, asked if he could drum with us. You know, we invited him to drum with us. And from that day on,
we've been
our
connected.
Paths have been connected. Yeah. And from that day on, we have made all these connections that I have no, you know, for a while I was trying to figure out how it all came about. It was the connection with one person. One person, okay? One person. Mm-hmm. His name was Bob Cliff. And that day that we connected with him opened doors to other people, and we opened doors to him, and vice versa. He started to look and search for certain things. He started searching for, you know, his spirituality, his Native American roots. He ended up finding people near him that did stuff that kind of like what we do. And the next, you know, now we're all intertwined.
Line appointment.
And I tell you, and that's why I took that picture.
Yeah, and there's pivot points like that. And I think if you look back in, and anybody can look back in their life, but as we look back in our kind of our collective path that we've gone on, there's little pivot. Well, what if we hadn't gone that day? That was the first day that I played a drum, you know, like that, and really felt, you know, the first stirrings of that, of wanting to pursue the path that I'm on now, you know. And so that was a very powerful moment, and, you know, so it meant a lot of things. But if we hadn't gone that day, you know, how our lives would be different?
We don't know. It could be on a complete, same path, but different players. But the thing was,
well, I like the players we got, so I'm glad it happened.
You know, that's that pivot point. You know, we're at that pivot point. That was that pivot point with that particular person.
And we're a motley crew.
And he it made sense to me, and it started to come together. You know, as I was going through the day, processing. You know, I met all these great people because we were kind enough to invite somebody into our circle, and say, yeah, join us. You know, everybody's welcome. You know,
that's right.
By opening our hearts and, you know, and opening up our spirit and sharing what was given to us by spirit through God, you know, it's just made, my life's different.
Mine too.
Yeah, my life's very different, you know.
Yeah.
And Serpent Mount was one of those changing points in my life. At that moment, I probably didn't think about it like that. But now, you know, what's it been, 5 years at least? 5 years later?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can look back and reflect and go, wow, that's a pivot point in my life. We all have pivot points in our lives where things, interactions, you know. You know, what if we were dogmatic that day? We told Bob, no, you can't come in. This circle's closed. This is our ceremony. You know, what would have happened? Where we have gone?
You know, we would have gotten exactly what we would deserve, which is not to expand ourselves, you know, and not to have the connections that we have. Because when you close yourself off like that, things die off, you know. Things don't live in a closed environment. You know, you have to have interaction, and it goes. The same goes for Native beliefs too, and for that kind of spirituality. Because that's what happened a lot in Alaska. You know, I mean, those things die off because people aren't interested. The young kids come up and they don't want to carry on the tradition. So, and if they're close to outsiders, then who's going to do that? You know, when the last old person dies, who knows the language or knows, you know, the stories that are told or the, you know, the ceremonies involved? That's dead. That's gone. And that's a shame.
And, you know, the thing is, you know, we've counseled, you know, each other. We've all counseled, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone through some things. We've gone through some things. And we've been there for each other, which has been really powerful. You know, and those people are the only people who can maybe have touched you in that moment. That person who could have actually said, you know, said that one word. And that one word of kindness, you know, saying, welcome, brother, you know. And that's what we said, welcome, brother. And you know what? He's been our friend ever since. He's still our friend. And, you know, he's always grateful for us, and we're grateful for him. And you know, and he didn't drum either that day. You know, when he first met us, he didn't drum either.
Yeah, and he met Carol through.
And he met Carol through us. Yeah, he met Carol through us.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, you know, I always, you know, everybody, I'm really weird like that sometimes. I invite people in. As long as you don't hurt me and you're not hurt my family, you're cool, you know. But, you know, as soon as you cross me, whatever, fine, well, we have a problem, we'll talk about it. But I'm inviting of everybody like that. And that's why I have the friends I have. That's why I have Katie's in my life. That's why David's in my life. That's why all these people are in my lives. Personally, speaking from my own experience, from my own place, is that I gave myself a chance to meet somebody else, you know, to meet another person, to, you know, like you said, David, to, you know, be one with somebody, you know, and give someone a fair shake, a fair chance, you know, to prove themselves right or wrong in your eyes. And, you know, everything that we have is the moment. The moment is the most powerful thing that's been gifted to us. And some of us just wasted away and not even knowing. because we're so caught up in the world. We're so caught up in the things, you know. I had a million things I could have done that day. You know, I could have been mm-hmm. anywhere that day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had some hiccups before we even got there, you know. We had some issues that happened, you know. And but we got there at the right exact moment in time. And every place we've been has been the right exact moment in time.
Yeah.
You know, every relationship we've been in has been the right moment in time. Good and bad.
Good and bad.
I found it to be so true, you know. I was just going to say I found it to be true because, you know, as I let go of worrying about things or, you know, am I going to be late for this or something, you know, it's like if you're just in the moment and letting things happen, you know, it all works out as it should for one thing. And then another thing is you see so much along the way, you know, it's like instead of rushing to where you're going to go, you stop, you know, you see the flowers along the way or, you know, you meet someone.
Journey.
It's a journey, that's right, you know, and you just...
All about the journey, not the... destination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You let David, go
remember,
of... go ahead, I'm sorry.
Remember the parking lot?
The parking lot.
At Giant Eagle?
Yes, yeah. You know, we were, like you say, we were going to go get the limes. That was an unexpected thing, you know, and I have to admit, you know, I was like a little bit, okay, let's get going, you know. I want to get on the road, so that's my old habits talking there. But, you know, we went to Giant Eagle and got the things, you know, and went back out in the parking lot. And who was there but two people, Dainta and Todd, you said you were even thinking about them earlier, you know, like, hey, I need to touch base with them, you know. They were there, and they were there no later or no earlier than they should have been. They were there right on time.
Yeah, but where were they? Where was we? We were parked right in front of each other.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, even more so. You know, but we weren't going to miss that appointment. You know, that was set up. So,
man, we were right there. I mean, what are the chances of me parking right in front of Todd's car or Todd parking in front of my car? I don't know which guy, who got there first, but either way, I was just like, Todd. And I was like, Dainta.
Out of the hundreds of thousands of cars and all the possible moments in time, you know, mm-hmm. that could have happened, it's beyond coincidence and beyond, you know, just an accident, definitely planned. And that's where you see the hand of spirit, you know, when those things happen. You really see the direction and you know that you're being communicated with and you know, that there's a larger, you know, the sea's far, there's a larger vision to what we do and the perspective, you know, and that's just so awesome to know. You know, you never feel alone or, you know, like you're lost or, you know, a life's an empty experience because everything has meaning and, you know, and just being open to it. I just love that, you know. I can't say enough about it.
And then the next move was which direction we were going to go. Remember?
Yeah. You said,
we couldn't decide
I can
if you were
going to
go 315. Remember that?
We were going to go down 315?
We were going down 315 or 33. We were like trying to make a decision, remember? That decision we made, the decision that we made put us on the course where we were going, on our destiny at that moment. You know, you wanted to go. We were in a hurry, and I knew that. And that was no problem. But, you know, we got to 35. We didn't get to 35 until we passed 23 because we got lost, sort of. We didn't really get lost. We just got veered off. Spirit veered us off. Then we got to Vigo. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And I was laughing. When I was laughing you know, after you told me, I think we missed the exit. I said, I'm going to turn around. And I'm going, well, I can't do the U-turn, though, because I don't want, you know, my might like to be a cop there. So you turned on my GPS, and we ended up on the long and winding road. But, you know, we had fun on that road, dude. We had a great time.
We had a great time. You know,
at least I had a great time.
It taught us a lesson. It did.
I had a great time winding down that road with you and seeing Cujo the dog.
That was a lot of fun, you know. And
then
I didn't know if that. Yeah. You know, and I saw that shirtless guy with the shorts. I didn't know if he was Sasquatch or, you know, somebody who's a resident out there. But he was watching us.
He was pretty hairy.
Yeah.
I was like, then she remember this my kind of town, Chicago is. You know, we were in this small town, and this song is on. And you're like, what's this song? I said, I think it's Chicago, but it was just like, it was just so different from big city to rural. You know, it was just like so.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Spirit has a very unique sense of humor, you know, and you've got to be, you got to step out of yourself sometimes to get it because you know. You'll hear these poignant things, you know, that you're taught or thinking really deeply about something, and Spirit will throw something at you like, you know, don't worry, be happy. You know, it's like to get it, to really understand it, you just have to have that kind of, well, you know, hey, you're right, and be open to that, you know, kind of an experience. And it was like that all weekend long. I mean, what a what a wonderful time. You know, I live for my weekend. I just get through the weeks, you know, and I was thinking as I was driving back to work, I said, you know, some people say, well, it's time to go back to real life, you know, and I kind of go, well, it's time to go back to fake life because real life is what I just went through, you know.
Sorry to be a cough on you there. That's so true, man.
That's
so true. That's so true. You guys want to take a caller here real quick?
Work.
Save
oh, what,
caller
I'm
here.
Sorry, go ahead. Okay,
yeah. Let's take a caller for
the last 3 minutes of it, okay.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Hello, hello. Can you hear us? They must be on a bad connection or something. But all right.
Yep, that was Spirit calling us.
No, it was Spirit just saying, what? Don't you're doing a fine job. Doing a fine job over there. Yeah, so any closing thoughts, guys? Anything you want to leave us with here real quick before we sign off?
Next thing is what the... Oh, yeah, we have.
Camp Hope?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say Camp Hope.
Yes.
We're on Camp Hope.
Hope. Next weekend on Saturday. And then Bobby and Andy's.
Yep.
Saturday night, another drum circle, bonfire, potluck.
Mm-hmm.
And then over at Garcia's, those who can't travel.
Mm-hmm.
So we got it all covered.
Another Dolphin Hike coming up.
Yeah, there's another one coming up in June. So, or is it July? I've got to check my calendar. We'll talk about that later.
Secretary.
Okay? Yeah, we'll talk about that later. So, I just want to say, you know, again, every time I think I've had the best weekend of my life or I've had this profound experience, you know, it just comes stronger and teaches me more and I connect more and. And it's just such a great thing to share that with people and share that with you too. And, you know, just as we keep growing forward and learning and teaching and learning from the people we're supposed to be teaching and getting, you know, it's wonderful. And I just I'm so grateful every moment. I'm deep in my gratitude and I just want to say, you know, hey, much love and gratitude to both of you and to everyone out there.
Same here. We set those intentions earlier about having that we were going to have 2014 was going to be a good year.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
We've been going places because I mean, we were on a hiatus there for a while, kind of. You know, we weren't really doing the things we used to do together for a while.
Yeah.
But this year, I was determined on my end to hook up with you guys and be with you guys in places and do stuff. And yeah, so far, I'm enjoying the journey.
Yeah, so far, really good.
We need to refocus once in a while. And sometimes, you know, it takes stepping back and reassessing what you're doing, where you're going, and how you're feeling about it, you know, in order to know the right direction. And I think maybe that little respite, that little hiatus for us, was a chance to recharge and to redirect ourselves and to get serious about it, you know, because we do have a lot of fun. But you know, in my past, I'm just kind of a famous aimless wanderer, you know, and I want to be able to stay the course, you know. I'm so glad that this path is unfolding for me like it is. It's life, you know. It's just great.
Yeah, you know, going back to the fake world was not fun. I was there for a little bit, and I tell you, I don't like it too much over there. It's people are a little high strung, and they take things a little way too serious.
Mm-hmm.
And they see us, and they're like, breathe now, breathe.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, good times ahead, my friends. Good times ahead.
Absolutely. And, I guess with that, we can say good night to everybody. It's been a good time. We'll be here next week at 6 p.m. Eastern time with the three amigos, the Shamoons.
Same bat time, bat station.
And we'll have fun.
A hey and a ho and a haka haka hoo.
And we'll put Disco Joe on.
All right.